The critics recognized Zeisel's ability to write for chorus. There were some marvelous reviews about the way he handles the human voice.
It sounded really, when I remember it now, the voices sounded like orchestra voices. You know, it sounded like an orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Do you know whether Eric had, or the extent of his interaction with other composers at that time who set these same texts? Turns out, as you know from my research, I'm discovering six composers.
He didn't know of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't. Maybe he heard later on of Gross, because Gross was also in Vienna.
Mm-hmm. And it's rather striking that six composers would set these texts to music within a year of their appearance.
Yeah. It just shows you the impact that book had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hilde Spiel has said it sent shockwaves through her literary circles at that time. But each piece, I think, has something worth discussing. Certainly, the Harlem Night Song is one of his greatest choruses of all time, a magnificent piece, which we hope to hear recorded and on tape in revival pretty soon. But there were two things associated with the other choruses that I think are worth commenting. One, we've talked about Zeisel's ability to capture the essence of a text. Now, he was always searching for a text. What happened in the arabesque?
Well, the arabesque was completely misconceived, so to say, by Eric, and that wasn't his fault, but the translator's fault.
Mm-hmm.
He had translated the swinging in a tree as shouting, and shouting meant rocking, and so Eric translated a picture of a black man who was holding two babies and rocking in a tree, and the whole thing very merry and happy and full of sunlight, while it was a stark contrast between the two little children, one black, one white, who love each other and kiss each other, and in the tree, the black man swinging, the victim of a lynch mob.
Mm-hmm.
And this went completely by his understanding, and I think the others that composed it likewise.
Yes, interestingly enough.
Because the Schaukeln in Vienna just doesn't bring up that picture.
I see. Yes, two other composers set a very similar mood.
Yeah.
A happy one.
Besides,
basically.
We also probably didn't know too much about this.
But isn't it true that eventually, once Eric had come to America, he received a communication from the author of this poem, Frank Horn?
Yes, I tried very, very hard, because I could not find this poem in the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
I found the Hughes poem.
Oh, yes.
The original. And I saw that the love song, for instance, is slightly a little bit different.
Yes,
but Eric had left out something. So I found other poems by Horn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote to the publisher, and the publisher brought me into contact. And Horn was at that time in Washington and had quite a fine position there in the government.
Yes, he got into housing.
I forgot what he was. Yeah. He was in some of the branches of the government in Washington, and he answered me and sent me the poem in its original sense. But it was very hard to place these poems here because of this fact, and
yes,
the publisher wanted to do it because the first one was miscomposed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then perhaps the other interesting facet is what happened to the third chorus, a marvelous poem by Langston Hughes called On Sue's Stories. And once again, the name Castronic surfaces.
Yes. Well, Eric, all his life, he was never sure of himself. And, you know, the slightest remark of ever so unfit a person, you know, the maid, you know, in the kitchen, the cook would say, "I don't like that song," he would tear it up.
Mm.
And he had absolutely no real assurance or confidence, and that came from his background, where he had met with so much indifference or neglect or ridicule always, yes, in the family.